and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. I'm John Tanza on this pre-recorded program. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Monday, December 21st, 2020. Unknown gunmen attack a vehicle in Tonch County.
The woman's condition was not good because she was shot in her chest and the bullet deeply penetrated and passed out the back. The other two men are in good condition.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Three people were injured at Akopayam of Tonch North County during a road ambush over the weekend. Some residents of Warap Town say they are living in fear due to insecurity in the area. For VOA News, Daniel Marang Wek reports from Juba.
Tonch North County Police Commissioner Lieutenant Colonel John Gabriel Deng says three passengers, including a woman, were wounded during the attack. Deng says the woman was rushed to Luanya Care Local Hospital in Gogreal East County and is listed in critical condition.
The woman's condition was not good because she was shot in her chest and the bullet deeply penetrated and passed out the back. The other two men are in good condition.
Deng says the attackers ordered traders at gunpoint to hand over their money and other belongings. Mateng Kamach is a trader and a survivor of the incident.
We were almost to reach Warap Town when these criminals appeared ahead of us and pointed guns at everyone. We were about 14 in the car and 7 of us were traders carrying money. These people came in groups and asked for money. We were beaten seriously before they freed us with just empty hands.
Trader Peter Scholl says the attackers got away with 1.5 million South Sudanese pounds. Scholl is calling on authorities to speed up the disarmament exercise for fees to return into the area.
Nothing left. I lost 1.5 million South Sudanese pounds. This is the only money I accumulated for a long time. Today is gone like that. Thank God I'm alive.
Several calls to Warap State Governor Bona Fanek Biar for comment on the incident went unanswered. 2 months ago, communities from Tonch North County held a 3-day feast dialogue that called for total disarmament, an agreement to set up courts to try funding cases, and to return looted cattle and other property to the rightful owners. But the resolutions were not wisely implemented. Last week, 7 people were killed and 8 others wounded during intercommunal clashes in Tonch North County. For BOA News, Daniel Marengwe in Juba.
A prominent South Sudanese academician living in the United States says the quality of education in South Sudan is poor due to neglect by the South Sudan government and lack of resources. Luka Bion Kwal says South Sudan inherited a weak education system from Sudan. He says South Sudan needs to invest more in a primary and secondary education.
There is no doubt what is happening in South Sudan is a result of what we have seen in the Sudan is the neglect of the higher education. And especially during the period of the National Congress Party. And what is happening is that what happened for the National Congress Party, although there was a deterioration of the education system, first, there was a very deliberately targeting the higher institutions, because these are the institutions of usually standing against, especially the students, against the regime, against dictators. And Sudan is known for that. So when these National Congress Party came into power, they targeted the higher education in terms of no resources. They discredited and they created their own university, a proliferation of many universities in Sudan. So higher education got diluted and the quality actually went down. And also the political environment was so bad. The other side of effect of it was the secondary education, secondary and the primary education. So there was a very big shift to the Islamic agenda, and that one. So what happened? You have a very poor quality of primary education, secondary education. Then the university starts supplying students. The supply of students at the university of a very low quality. So South Sudan affected by that, and I think even what we inherited a very neglected higher education.
So given all of that, how do we fix it? How do we improve the education system in South Sudan?
Invest in the primary education. It's extremely important. We can improve the primary education and secondary education. For me, this is the basic one. Higher education focus on few quality universities and then improve quality and make sure how that you can invest more by the government as well by the parents also for the higher education. Primary education might be free, but I think a lot needs to be done for the higher education, how it can be financed in a sustainable way.
You would agree that the most urgent quest for South Sudan right now is the achievement of peace and development. And you were once the director at the Center for Peace and Development Studies at the University of Juba. What is the role of higher education institutions in achieving that goal, and is it being fulfilled?
Even if we talk about the primary education or even higher education, we have assumption there's a good, stable political environment. And that one is not there. And it is, and even for any development, for any peace, sustainable peace, you have to get a political context right. And that is not there. You know what is happening in South Sudan or in other countries? The whole debate of social contract, of how the relationship between the citizens and the government. And for me, it is this social contract that we may need to invest in to see how we can code a good and sustainable that social contract. And here, this is where I would see the universities will play a very important role to create a space for such a debate. So political environment, it has to be right. And when you talk about peace and development, there's no way you can have those ones if we don't have the right political environment. And what I'm saying is South Sudan, a lot is needed to be done. And it seems it may not be quite conducive to provide sustainable peace and sustainable development.
That's Luka Byung Deng Kwal, a Dean of Faculty and Academic Affairs at the African Center for Strategic Studies. He was speaking with my colleague Nabil Biaju here in Washington. Sudanese protesters are calling on the transitional government to implement all the promises made during the transitional period. Thousands of Sudanese took part in a peaceful protest across the country over the weekend to commemorate the second anniversary of the protest that began on December 19, 2018. As Michael Atit reports from Khartoum, protesters reiterated their call for justice.
Sudanese protesters say the transitional government has done very little within the past 2 years in pursuing justice for people killed during and after the June 3, 2019 crackdown on protesters. Aida Al-Fadil is a mother of Abbas Farah, who was shot and killed by Sudanese security on June 3rd. Al-Fadil says the transitional government has done very little to ensure that justice is served.
We have not seen any justice being implemented in our cases. No peace has been achieved, nor one of the objectives been put into reality. This government has been too slow in pushing for justice, and up to this moment, nothing has been changed in the governance system. We demand that justice for dear ones be done and nothing more.
The Human Rights Watch says at least 120 people were killed and hundreds of others went missing during and after military's June 3, 2019 crackdown. 21-year-old Azza Adam Kabashi took part in the protest and says the transitional government has not improved economic conditions across Sudan.
We have not noticed any change in the economic situation for the last 2 years. We understand that the 3 decades of the previous regime will take time to be changed, but we need to see some practical steps to relieve the burden on citizens. Even after removing the name of Sudan from the list of countries sponsoring terrorism, our pound is still low and has not gained any increase.
36-year-old Haider Azra Kua says an immediate handover to full civilian rule in Sudan would solve the country's problem.
We don't deserve the ongoing injustice. Everyone comes and wants the resources of our citizens. Each one of the leaders wanted to look after their kids and take them outside the country, and yet the majority of our citizens are still suffering. This is injustice, and we will not accept it. We know all of these military personnel are part of the previous regime and they will not allow any change to take place.
But for Fatima Zubeda Zaki, who also took part in the weekend's protests, says citizens should change their negative perspective towards the transitional government. Zaki says, despite some challenges during the last 2 years, she believes the government has made some achievements.
To realize the dream of the new Sudan, we need to give them some time to achieve the change in our society. We need both the government and citizens to begin the change from within themselves. We need to change our attitudes towards the government and allow them to slowly begin to implement transitional objectives and other reforms.
The protesters demanded that the transitional government establish a legislative council as soon as possible to complete the governance structure of the country. For the past 2 years, both the sovereign and the cabinet councils have been playing the role of the legislative body jointly and have passed some bills into law. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Khartoum.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, church leaders in Juba blame the ruling SPLM for grabbing their land. That story is coming up right after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what is the best advice you have ever gotten?
Got an advice from my mom. She encouraged me to work hard. That she told me, and a very successful woman is a very hardworking woman.
The great one I can remember is the one my father gave to me to study hard. Actually, he was on his, I can say, maybe a deathbed. He was so ill. He had a stroke and he was so helpless. He couldn't do anything for me. That was the last day I even saw him. It was like, my son, study hard.
Is from my father. He has always told me that I shouldn't be afraid to learn new things and to take up new challenges, because he said that you're only afraid to take up new challenges when you haven't tried it.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm VOA health correspondent Linor Mudu. During this pandemic, the World Health Organization and Africa Centers for Disease Control say if you have a fever, a cough, or have trouble breathing, you should stay home and contact a healthcare facility. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest health news.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we all can help fight the global pandemic by frequently washing our hands with soap and water or using hand sanitizers. For more information on protecting yourself and others, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa Center for Disease Control. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Church leaders in Juba blame the ruling SPLM for grabbing their land.
For VOA News, Viola Elias reports from Juba.
The disputed land located near the National Legislative Assembly belongs to Christ Church's spiritual leader, Jumbo Mula, who says some armed soldiers claiming to be sent from the office of the governor of Central Equatorial State ask him to go to the governor's office.
We ask them, and then, why do you harass us here in the church? They said we have to go to the office of the governor. When we reach to the state office of the Central Equatoria, then we found the SG, he gives us chance to narrate all our problems to him.
Mula accuses Governor of Central Equatoria State, Emmanuel Adil Anthony, of not listening to the church leaders who wanted to explain the history of how the church land was acquired.
For the first time, it was the parliament people disturbing us here, sending us soldiers night and day. Now the parliament have given up. There was no problem against coming from them. But now James Kenyi and his group, they keep quiet. Now this is another a new group from Anna Kapo, the secretariat SPLM office. She's the one now disturbing us, using some other commanders and other people to threaten the church.
South Sudan in Focus contacted the SPLM secretariat for a comment, but the secretariat declined to comment on record, saying the secretariat has already taken legal procedures to solve the land dispute. I quote, "The SPLM secretariat will not comment on this matter, but will encourage the church leaders to produce the document of legibility before the State Ministry of Physical Infrastructure," end quote. Mula says the church was built in 1989 and there are documents signed by the former governor of Central Equatoria State, Clement Wanikonga, who instructed the State Ministry of Physical Infrastructure to allocate the land.
So the governor recognized the church and we applied to him and he approved that this church, this place is for the church. He approved this place and the water company. So that is why we are here up to today. All those government officials who have been appointed as governors, they did not touch the church.
In June 2018, President Kiir vowed to give back any illegal land grabs by government officials to the rightful owners. The Muslim community in Juba have complained about individuals who confiscated their properties in Malakia and Konyokonyo. For VOA News, I am Viola Elias in Juba.
Health services continue to be paralyzed in Kenya as nurses and clinical workers strike enter its third week. The Cabinet Secretary for Health issued an ultimatum to the striking health workers to avert the strike or risk losing their jobs.
The nurses and clinical officers strike has caused a major health crisis in the country. It has forced relatives to evacuate their patients from public hospitals and seek medical care in private health facilities. Health Cabinet Secretary Mutahi Kagwe has warned the striking health workers that they risk losing their jobs if they do not resume work immediately. Kagwe urged the nurses to comply with a court order to suspend the strike for 14 days in order to give dialogue a chance.
Therefore, I urge you again and appeal to you to adhere to the courts, what the courts have held, and to adhere to your own hearts to come back so that we can help our people. Having said so, I think it is also important for me to be clear, those of you who may have been on strike, to resume to avoid losing your jobs. Please do not lose your job. Do not be the one statistic again who will be a job seeker next year.
Kenya National Union of Nurses Secretary General Seth Panyako, while speaking at a funeral of a nurse who succumbed to COVID-19, warned the Health Cabinet Secretary Mutahi Kagwe against issuing dismissal threats to health workers. Panyako added that the health workers will only resume work once the national government has addressed their issues.
There is no going back to work. We want comprehensive medical cover, it must be there. We want group life insurance, it must be there. We want all our contracted nurses who have not earned for 14, 15 months to be paid all their salaries. There will be no going back to work until all our issues are addressed. There will be no taking back nurses to work to go and die. And for the first time I want to tell you, you can see the entire nursing fraternity is united. There is no dissenting voices. Because we are fighting for a justified cause. And I am telling you, Kakwe, we will not go back.
The health crisis is expected to worsen today, Monday, as doctors prepare to also down their tools after talks to avert the strike collapsed. Doctors' Union, which had suspended their strike for 14 days to give dialogue a chance, now say 8 teams of doctors will also withdraw their services, which could cripple healthcare services in all public hospitals. Those who depend on public hospitals, especially residents of informal settlements, will have to look for an alternative. This comes at a time when the country is battling the second wave of the COVID-19 pandemic. Atieno Odhiambo in Nairobi, Kenya.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Here is a recap of today's top stories with Carol Van Dam.
Thanks, Sean. A group of unknown gunmen ambushed and shot three people last weekend at the Akop Payam of Tonj North County. Some Worup County residents say insecurity has increased in recent weeks. Tonj North County Police Commissioner Lieutenant Colonel John Gabriel Dang says one of the three passengers wounded was rushed to Lanyakur Local Hospital in Gongreel East County, where she's listed in critical condition. Dang says the attackers forced traders to hand over all their money and belongings at gunpoint. One of the survivors says the attackers beat the passengers. Leaders of the Nakasogola Christ Church in Juba have accused the ruling SPLM party of trying to grab their land. Jumbo Mula, the spiritual leader of that church, says South Sudan People's Defense Force soldiers recently surrounded the church compound, which is located next to the parliament building. Mula says the armed soldiers said they were sent from the office of the governor of Central Equatoria State. Mula accuses the governor of ignoring church leaders who had tried to explain the history of how the church land was acquired. He says soldiers were sent to the church night and day, disturbing the clergy and church leaders. And finally, Sudanese protesters took to the streets last weekend demanding that the transitional government carry through on promises it made on the second anniversary of the start of the December 2018 revolution. The protesters reiterated their call for justice for the more than 120 people killed during the military's crackdown on June 3, 2019. Ada El Fadil, the mother of a man shot and killed by Sudanese security on June 3rd, says she has not seen any justice carried out in their case, and she says no peace has been achieved. And that's a look at some of today's top stories. I'm Carol Van Dam.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1-202-630-8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1-202-630-8011.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm VOA health correspondent Linor Mudu. The World Health Organization and Africa Centers for Disease Control say we all can help fight the coronavirus pandemic by wearing face masks that cover our mouths and noses when we are in crowded areas. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest news on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and U.S. Centers for Disease Control say coughing and sneezing can spread COVID-19. Physical distancing, staying at least 1 meter away from people outside your family, can protect everyone. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
That's our show for this Monday. We would like to welcome our listeners on Radio Easter 94 FM in Yei Town to the family of VOA affiliate stations across South Sudan. We now leave you with the song Lukululi by WJ.
Lukululi!
Fadia, lay it on my quest, my mind.
We've been listening to WJ with the song Lukulili. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for allowing us into your homes, vehicles, and phones. Remember to always wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there is no cure for coronavirus. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.